We're over a year into the coronavirus pandemic. Every single person in Michigan has been impacted by it. But the pandemic feels different in day-to-day life across the state. And that's certainly true for folks in the Upper Peninsula.
As you know, in rural Michigan, you know, only so much time goes by before, if you're a small business owner, you start to worry about how are you going to make ends meet and pay your bills. And it didn't take long before that set in the Upper Peninsula.
Today, pandemic living then and now in and around the UP. This is Stateside. I'm Max Johnston, filling in for April Baer. Coming up, we'll hear from a local business owner about life and business up north. But first, I caught up with state lawmaker Sarah Cambenzi. She represents the 109th District, including Marquette, in the State House of Representatives. When she's not in Lansing, she says she spends a lot of time traveling and talking to folks in her district.
You know, one of the things when you're from a small town area, I mean, people expect to see you in the district and they expect you home. So you gotta do it. And it's a lot of work and a lot of running around, but that's what makes, I guess, us unique as legislators. You know, my friends will come up from downstate or my colleagues and they'll say, gosh, everyone knows you up here. And it's like, well, it's because we're, you know, we go to those spaghetti dinners and we drive home every weekend. And it's just part of what we do to, you know, do the work for the people. So
like I mentioned, we're over a year into this pandemic. I wanted to ask you, when did this virus, this pandemic sort of hit home? I think we all had a moment where we realized what was going on. Looking back to when this started, what was that moment like for you?
You know, it was kind of this moment of anxiety and uncertainty. And, you know, I will say that in the Upper Peninsula, we took it very seriously. There was a complete shutdown at the start of, you know, April, and everyone up here embraced that because we just didn't know a lot about the virus. But as you know, in rural Michigan, you know, only so much time goes by before, if you're a small business owner, you start to worry about how are you going to make ends meet and pay your bills. And it didn't take long before that set in the Upper Peninsula. And you also had anxiety about what is my financial future going to look like if I don't have revenue coming in and people coming to do business at my small business.
So can you describe last summer a bit for me? Because it was an interesting situation in the Upper Peninsula because there was sort of this tenuous balance between having a tourism season, but also fighting a pandemic. So can you just describe what that balance sort of looked and felt like last summer?
Like in most of rural America and certainly rural Michigan, we had a great team of people in the northern lower and certainly the Upper Peninsula that came together and said, we have to all work together to make sure we can have at least a partial reopening to get our businesses some of the revenue they need while keeping everyone safe. And we had economic groups, we had our hospitals, we had our universities and legislators at the table. And we went to the governor and said, you know, as long as we're not seeing that spike up here, can we really work together on, you know, a regional approach that'll keep everyone safe, but allow our businesses to survive. And we were successful with that. And, you know, we not only had record numbers in to the UP and certainly my district that covers Pictured Rocks National Lakeshore, but we also kept people safe. Our numbers were extremely low all throughout the summer. And so it's a sense of pride that we were able to protect people as well as help our small businesses.
And then I want to talk about the region's rural hospitals. In the late summer and into the fall, I remember reading reports about rural hospitals in the Upper Peninsula getting slammed with COVID cases. What did the peak of the pandemic mean for hospitals in the region and in your district?
You know, that was a scary time, I think, for everyone in the Upper Peninsula, because you always assume that that hospital that's in your local community and maybe only 45 minutes away or an hour away is always going to be there for you with, you know, the care and, you know, the capacity that you need. And, you know, that was probably the one thing that really made people realize that when we hit those numbers and when that occupancy wasn't available, people absolutely started to pull back again. We understood that we needed to shut down briefly. And that's really because we not only wanted to protect the workers, our nurses, our physicians, and everyone in the healthcare field, but we also wanted to make sure that if our neighbors who were elderly or needed that more than we did, you know, that we did everything we could to protect that healthcare system and our neighbors.
I want to talk about the communities in the Upper Peninsula and specifically how coronavirus affects these sort of smaller rural communities. I think these smaller areas, you know, it makes coronavirus and this illness feel a little more personal because these are smaller, tighter sort of areas. How does that affect the way the UP has responded to it? How does the coronavirus feel in these small communities where it has a big ripple if only one person gets sick?
Absolutely. I think, you know, whenever there's a funeral in a small town, there tends to be something that you can identify with or some way that you know that person. And that starts to become real a lot quicker maybe than it did in an urban area. So I think that you had, you know, a lot of people that said, oh gosh, you know, I know someone that passed away, or I know of someone in this family that had it and it was really bad. I think you saw a lot of heightened awareness up here when people could identify and actually say that, you know, someone they knew a week or two ago had it and now is no longer with us. I also think it worked the other way, where you had people that might have known someone, but they felt like they didn't know them that well, and they didn't make that personal connection. And you saw a lot of people step up in areas and kind of refuse to wear a mask. And so I think you had both effects up here, but overall, I think what I noticed is that generally people understood that if we do a small part, wear a mask and socially distance, we can help and protect each other. And the likelihood of knowing someone that has had COVID and passed away from it becomes a lot smaller.
So where is the region now? Cases have gone up where I'm at in northern lower Michigan. How are UPers faring right now against the coronavirus in this moment?
You know, I think we're doing good. We did see a big spike, like you said, in the fall. Through the governor's orders, we were able to slow that spread right down. And right after New Year's, you know, our numbers started to head down below the 6% infection rate, getting very close to the 1% where we know it's not really being transmittable. And I think that's why you saw a little bit more COVID fatigue up here. I think people were looking at the local numbers, you know, wanting to reopen and again, you know, help those small businesses, feeling pretty safe about it, knowing the vaccines were coming out, rather than doing an entire statewide approach that the governor kind of stood by in January and February. And, you know, I think right now everyone is feeling really good about it. I'm noticing people are being able to see through the clouds and get to the end of this.
Sarah Cambenzi represents the Upper Peninsula's 109th district in the State House. Representative Cambenzi, thanks so much for joining.
Thank you, Max.
We need to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll check in with Bugsy Saylor, a photographer, owner of a clothing store in Marquette, and a self-described ambassador for the Upper Peninsula.
Little did we know that we would just have a record-breaking tourism year. I mean, it was extremely busy in Marquette.
Be right back.
Support for the Stateside Podcast comes from the University of Michigan's Go Blue Guarantee, committed to keeping a U of M undergraduate education within reach of all Michigan residents, regardless of socioeconomic status. Programs are available for all three campuses. More at goblueguarantee.umich.edu.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside Podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
Part of the reason COVID-19 has landed differently with some folks in the Upper Peninsula is because of the ample space. Outdoor recreation up north doesn't usually involve big groups of people. But that doesn't mean that some residents haven't been worried about how the virus might affect them, their friends and family, or their businesses. Bugsy Saylor is the owner of UP Supply Company in Marquette. He joined us last year as things were shutting down, and he also has the favorite name of any source I've ever interviewed. Bugsy, welcome back to Stateside.
Thanks for having me.
So the last time we checked in with you was April of last year, and your shop had shut down by that point. You weren't sure what the spring and summer would bring. So sort of bring us up to speed. How was life and business for you in Marquette?
So I can't believe it's been a year already. And it was a year ago this time that I closed the storefront for about 3 months, which was tough. And there's certainly a lot of unknowns. But what happened last year, I mean, all the summer events were canceled. And that gave me a lot of concern that there just wasn't going to be summer tourism here in Marquette. And our shop definitely relies on that traffic. And little did we know that we would just have a record-breaking tourism year. I mean, it was extremely busy in Marquette. And I think a lot of people throughout Michigan and the Great Lakes region were looking for a safe place to travel to, and they had canceled their bigger trips. So a lot of people ended up in the UP.
You mentioned record-breaking numbers. Illustrate that a little bit. What was so record-breaking about last summer?
That kind of comes from talking with a few other business owners, a couple of coffee shop owners that said they had their best summer ever. We had our best month ever during last July as well. So just due to the sheer number of people and the sheer number of traffic in town, the sidewalks were busy all summer long. Frankly, it caught us by surprise. I don't think we prepared our inventory for a super busy summer. I mean, at that point, I was stressed and thinking, you know, like, okay, I've got a little money in the bank. Should I be spending this or saving this right now? And I kind of went down with the saving route, at least for the first part of that year, part of the summer, not expecting that amount of traffic.
How do you think the pandemic sort of looked and felt differently in the Upper Peninsula as opposed to maybe parts downstate? Illustrate that a little bit, especially for listeners that maybe aren't familiar with the region. How did the pandemic just sort of look and feel differently in Michigan's Upper Peninsula?
I think from the beginning, rural communities felt detached because a lot of the news was coming out of larger cities. And of course, a lot of the decisions were being made in Lansing and other state capitals. So when the numbers were spiking everywhere else and we had had no cases, it was understandable that some people were frustrated to have to follow all the mandates when the COVID pandemic hadn't really reached the UP at that point.
And now we're in this position where, you know, people are, I think, preparing to sort of get back out there a little bit. A few weeks ago, some pictures went out of people skating on Lake Superior, which it looked beautiful. The ice on the lake looked like glass. It was a really interesting sight. How did it feel living there and seeing people kind of come out now when we've all been so isolated?
Yeah, so that was this magical moment in Marquette. And we had this winter where there were no events going on, went through the peak of the pandemic, hopefully, and everybody's been cooped up with nothing to do. And just magically out of nowhere, the ice freezes perfectly in a way that it never does. It does not do that. So you can skate on Superior. And right around the ore dock, which is this magical kind of legendary structure in Marquette, and the entire community just embraced it, and it gave people a way to celebrate the winter, to get outside, and it just really kind of like lifted the spirits of the community, I think, at this really perfect time, and everybody got out there. It was beautiful. It was a wonderful thing. It lined up with my birthday, and I grew up ice skating and playing hockey, so I really appreciated it myself a lot.
Happy belated birthday.
Thanks.
So this idea of nature and space, especially in the Upper Peninsula, tell me how important that has been in getting through this past year for both you and the community, this idea of being able to go out and recreate outdoors. What has that meant for everyone?
Yeah, being in Marquette, you know, we have a ton of access to nature and the outdoors. And I think we're a community that is grateful for that in any given year. But this year, I think a lot of people made a bigger point to spend more time on the trails, finding things to do outside. And the trails, you know, continue to be pretty busy all year. We're blessed with that. And it gives people a great way to socially distance and do something healthy, stretch the legs, get outside. And we're fortunate to have that, and not every community does, but people here certainly embraced it.
Going back to Marquette, it's a bit of a progressive bubble, if you will, in the Upper Peninsula. Did you see or feel any division over COVID restrictions, especially as Republicans in Lansing sort of dug in against Governor Whitmer? Did you feel any division in Marquette over that?
Yes, politically, Marquette is certainly a bubble. You know, in the presidential election, we were the only Upper Peninsula county to turn blue. In Marquette, there was a ton of buy-in with the community with any state mandates. Masks have not been an issue, especially in my little storefront. It's been a smooth process, but it's a different experience in other UP counties, you know, from mask burning parties to manifestos. And it is frustrating to see something like a pandemic so divided along political lines.
So you're originally from a small town called Barriga that has 1,200 residents. What was the pandemic experience like for people there?
Yeah, small town, 70 miles due west of Marquette. And, you know, my parents still live there. But at the beginning of this year, the Barriga County commissioners and sheriff wrote a Barriga County manifesto putting the state on notice and saying they were not going to comply with any of the state orders. And that was frustrating for me to hear, with my parents still living there, them becoming of an older generation at more at risk. And we have a lot of family and friends, or friends, I should say, in the area that are an older, riskier demographic, you know, being exposed to COVID. And this came out at the same time where the case numbers were spiking again in Michigan, and then Barriga had the highest death rate per capita of all 83 counties in Michigan. So it definitely created a big stir. You know, it was frustrating to me, you know, especially thinking of my parents and my loved ones in the area who I, you know, want to be protected and looked after.
Do you feel that manifesto just generally reflects the sentiment of the residents and the surrounding communities or not?
Yes, and it definitely falls along that political bounds, and Barriga County being one of the more conservative counties in the entire state, I believe, if you look at the presidential election versus, you know, Marquette being on the more liberal side. So it is frustrating when something like COVID, you know, has no political preference, you know, in who will become ill or die from it. So it is frustrating that it has been drawn so many political lines and in small, tight-knit communities. You know, there's certainly a lot of travel between Barriga and Marquette County.
On vaccinations, have you been vaccinated yet? Or do you know many people who have?
I myself have not. My parents have had at least one shot each at this point. I know more and more people kind of slowly closer to my age and demographic who have gotten the vaccine. And I've read initial numbers that over 100,000 people in the UP have gotten at least one shot, which is fantastic. I think the vaccine numbers are doing really well across the UP.
Are you breathing a sigh of relief that your parents are on their way to being fully vaccinated?
Yes, absolutely. And my grandmother as well, who lives in the Lower Peninsula and who is 90. So yes, every time I see a friend or a first line worker, something like that in my inner circle who got the vaccine, I feel a little more comfort myself, and I'm glad, hoping that they do as well, you know, that they can breathe a little easier and get to this finish line.
Looking ahead to this summer, what do you think this summer will look like? We're in an interesting position where more people are getting vaccinated, but COVID is still very much in our lives. What do you think this summer will look like in the Upper Peninsula?
I kind of feel we're in the same place as a year ago in some regard. I think you get to spring and naturally people are excited. The longer days, get out and about to do something, you know, school years finishing up. So I do think there's going to be a big influx in tourism again. I think it will be bigger numbers than we're used to. If that means more than last year, we'll find out. But hopefully the vaccine helps. I mean, people are going to travel regardless. And, you know, we'll see what we can maintain. You know, back to my little shop, and I think the community in Marquette, as far as masks and mandates go, everybody's been very wonderful in terms of complying with the orders. So we'll just see how long we have to keep wearing masks, and hopefully we see a decrease.
Bugsy Saylor is the owner of UP Supply Co. in Marquette. Bugsy, thanks so much for joining Stateside.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you.
And that's the Stateside Podcast. I'm Max Johnston. You can find the full Stateside show at michiganradio.org. Today's show was produced by Mercedes Mejia. Our theme music is by 14KT. Additional music from Blue Dot Sessions. Thanks for listening.